Hey, what's up, podcast? It's Jeff. And before we jump into this awesome episode of Teach Better Talk, I wanted to give you a little preview of a couple of the sessions that are coming to the Teach Better Conference this November 8th and 9th. If you're not already registered, you can go over to teachbetterconference.com, see all the amazing speakers and presentations that we have coming, and also get your registration. Make sure you use discount code PODCASTTALK to save $50. Here are just two of the sessions that you will be able to come see as told by the presenters bringing them to the Teach Better Conference. I hope to see you in November.
Hi, my name is Pam Erickson, and I am a grade 4 through 6 interventionist in northern Minnesota. The session that I will be presenting is called Relationships as a Key to Innovation. There's a lot of talk about us wanting to be our students to be innovative and our colleagues to be innovative, but without good relationship, that becomes a big barrier. So we will be discussing that in my session. So if you have not registered for the Teach Better Conference, please do that at teachbetterconference.com, and I look forward to meeting you all in November.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carly Spina. I am an EL bilingual instructional coach for a school district in the Chicago suburbs for pre-K through 8th grade. I work with supporting our linguistically diverse student populations, so I work with teachers, administrators, parents, students, associates, everybody. I'm excited to share a little bit at my session called Beyond Visuals, Innovative Supports for Language Learners. I'm looking forward to sharing this information with all of you and hearing about ways that you support your linguistically diverse students in your districts. See you soon.
You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 116 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with my really spooky friend, Jeff Gargan.
I'm glad you went with spooky because it's Halloween. Happy Halloween, Ray.
Happy Halloween, Jeff. I love being able to describe you as spooky because they think it's festive and I mean it for real.
Understood and accepted. Thanks. I appreciate that a lot.
Hey, I mean, it's a good and bad word. I think it works for this episode.
Yeah, it is. So super excited about
this. Did you have a good...
What's that? Go ahead. What? I don't want to interrupt you, dear. Go, please.
Well, I just want to ask you if you had a good weekend.
I had a great weekend. I actually performed and DJed a wedding. So some people might not know that I DJ weddings sometimes on the side. I'm also an ordained minister. So sometimes I get to do both. So this was a really cool one. It was someone, a kid. I call him a kid. He's obviously a full grown man at this point. But I met him when he was really young, and they asked me to DJ and to marry them. So I got to perform the ceremony and then DJ the wedding. So that was awesome. I did miss my kids trick or treating that on Saturday night because of that. But I got to take my daughter out on Sunday because we just went to another city and went. So that was fun. So I got to do some trick or treating and stuff as well. So I had a great weekend. How was yours?
Does anyone else feel like Jeff Gargas is one of those people that's tried all of the jobs that exist in the world?
I feel like that, yes.
I just think that no matter who I'm talking to or what profession they're in, I'm like, oh, my friend Jeff has done that.
Whoa. You call me your friend?
Well, I just meant for the purpose of this conversation.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool. Gotcha. That makes more sense.
Come on, Jeff. I was on a podcast with you. I was on a podcast with you and I challenged you to call me your best friend. We're best friends. It's fine.
There was actually a podcast where you did call me your best friend.
I know. Was that like the best moment of your life?
It was definitely top like 1,000 for sure.
Whoa, top 1,000. Come on, like give me top 10, like marrying your wife, your kids' births. Like, okay, but like then fourth would be, you know, Ray's best friend comment.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, there we go.
I think number 5 would be starting this podcast over because I think we're just way off right now.
No, I had a reason for asking about your weekend because I wanted to tell you about mine, but I felt like it was more appropriate for me to ask about yours so you could ask me about mine.
Well, let me be polite and be like, so Ray, that's my weekend. How was your weekend? What did you do?
Great question, Jeff. Okay. I did something really cool that I want to talk about on the podcast. So I was messaged by a few teachers on Twitter a few weeks ago that they were going to start a Teach Better book study. And they were going to use like our free Teach Better book study at teachbetteracademy.com, but they actually were like getting together via a Zoom call and like talking through the chapters. And so I messaged them back telling them how cool that was, but I wanted to know if I could crash. Like, would I be able to come in and would they still feel comfortable talking freely about the Teach Better book if I like totally crashed their conversation? And they let me come. So on Sunday, I actually hung out with a handful of teachers on Zoom, kind of from all over the country, but a good chunk of them were from Indiana. And we talked all through chapter one of the Teach Better book using like the reflection like workbook that we put together for the course.
That is really awesome. So on one hand, I'm like super stoked and really want to hear about how that went. On the other hand, I'm extremely jealous that I wasn't invited.
Yeah, you should be jealous for sure.
I'm super jealous. So like, can you give us any sort of takeaways from that experience of like what they were like getting into? Like what are they like? Are they loving it? I'm like super excited right now. I need to know what's going on.
Well, come on. Of course they love it. But I think it's really nice because they had all come from having read the chapter already. Like that was the assignment, was to have read chapter one. And then they went throughout the reflective guide that we provided in our in the free book study, where we give them like a before reading section, a during reading section, and a teach better challenge. And like that format, those three pieces are something that we've duplicated within each chapter to ensure that educators can reflect and take like those purposeful takeaways from each section. And it was really funny because the Teach Better Challenge, I'm not sure if you remember what we did for chapter one, but I'll just remind you so you don't have to pretend like you do if you don't, is that they had to identify three things to be better at, but then identify two challenges that were holding them back in those areas. So most of our conversation had to do with identifying an area that they wanted to work on and then identifying like the two major stressors that they had holding them back. And the coolest part of this is that we wrote those like on a piece of paper while we were on the Zoom call, and we use it as a bookmark for the rest of the book. So as this group of educators kind of gets together every Sunday, which by the way, if you're listening and you want to join them, you totally can. They're a super good group of educators. But as they get together on Sundays for the Zoom call, they're going to be using these three focuses, these three areas of growth, as future discussion points throughout their reflection, which I think is going to be really valuable as they move through each chapter.
Yeah, that's super cool. If they want to get connected to that group, how should they do that, right?
Well, definitely connect with Katie Norton. She's the one that organized kind of that whole thing. Like I said, there's a group of educators doing that. I believe that they're meeting up on Sundays at 7:30 Central Time, which is 8:30 Eastern. If you would love to participate in that, but maybe you're not available on Sundays, our team is kind of hosting a number of different book study discussions on our Facebook page so we can get you those dates. Otherwise, the Teach Better book study is free and it's already available on Teach Better Academy and it comes with this workbook. So you could always like grab a buddy that you work with or, you know, just do it by yourself. And there's a ton of kind of challenges in here that ask you to share on social media. So even doing this with your PLN would just be a great avenue to reflect. And I think, Jeff, not to like talk on this too long, but that was kind of the point of writing a book. Like we didn't just want to write a book, right? We like, we wanted to write a book that was just going to be the beginning of all the other conversations. And so if you're just kind of reading the book, then you're not really getting nearly what we hoped for you to get out of it. So these book studies that are popping up, I think are really echoing the value that we wanted educators to gain from this experience.
Absolutely. And the book study stuff that we're doing live. Are we doing that on their page or is that in the private group?
We're doing it on the page.
On the page.
So we're doing, I already did chapter one, and by the time this podcast comes out, I'll have done chapter two.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it on Wednesday, and this episode comes out on Halloween on Thursday.
So that's facebook.com/teachbetterteam. And Katie Norton, who is amazing on Twitter, is at Mrs. Norton Kinder. So if you want to go connect with her and get into that group, that'd be a great, she's super amazing in a lot of ways. So. Really cool. I'm glad that you did that this weekend and that we just talked about that because I think it's a really cool resource, like you said, over at teachbetteracademy.com. It's free, that, and you summed that up so nicely. So that's really cool. What was also really cool is I'm going to flip it now is this episode. This was a fun one because I've actually gotten to – I've been fortunate enough to spend some time in Jim's district Jim DiDonato, who is the superintendent of Mount Holly School District in New Jersey, who we work with as Teach Better team. Chad gets to go there a lot more than us, but I've gotten to go there a few times. It's a beautiful town and really cool. They got a lot of history in the area and stuff. So it was really cool to get him on to the podcast. He's also going to be out at the Teach Better conference next week, sharing some stories and thoughts and stuff too, which is really cool. We get him to dive into, you know, what he's going to be talking about and stuff. So that's fun. So Jim is the superintendent at Mount Holly in New Jersey. This is a pre-K to 8 school district. And I love the fact that he's been there for 18 years. He's been in the district for 18 years. He's been a special education teacher, a literacy coach, a supervisor, a director of curriculum and instruction, and now the superintendent. He refers to himself as an educational geek. He really loves, and I know that you love this, he talks a lot in this episode, and it always seems to come back to like this connection with the community.
Yes.
And go figure we're doing Teach Further work with them, so it makes sense. But this connection to the community and the fact that like we can bring our students into the real world now. We don't have to wait, you know, that type of stuff. I really like that. And I love his take on what they're trying to do and what he's trying to convey there and some of the lessons that he's learned through his years. And I think he makes a really cool point on failure. We all know that that's like my favorite part of the podcast all the time, but he really talks about a cool way to look at those failures and something to just keep in mind if you are going through a tough time, challenge, or failure right now. So I think it's really important. So listen to this one through. Ray, any last minute words for anybody?
No, I just think that his focus on community engagement is literally my bread and butter. I loved listening to this amazing educational leader make that a focal point, because this is the future of education. And I'm so excited that he's making it a focus in this district.
With that, let's get into episode 116 with James DiDonato. Hey, what's up, podcast? It's Jeff. Don't worry, I'm going to get you right back into the episode, but I had to jump in because you have to understand we are now just a week away from the Teach Better conference, the first one ever. We have an amazing lineup of speakers coming out. We've got over 90 different sessions for you to consume and learn from and grow from and take back to your classrooms and your districts and put in place. We have only got a few spots left. Like, this is going to sell out. It will sell out before the day, like right there. So a couple more spots to grab. You can take the discount code podcasttalk, save yourself $50 on either of the two-day registration options over there at teachbetterconference.com. Get over to the site, get registered, come hang out with us next week, November 8th and 9th in Akron, Ohio. I look forward to seeing you there. Again, that's over at teachbetterconference.com. All right, let's get back to the episode. All right, we're here. We are talking with Jim DiDonato. And Jim, it is awesome having you on the podcast. Super excited to get you here. I've actually had the pleasure of coming to your district a couple times, so I know the awesome work that you're doing, the culture that you've built, everything going on. So we're super excited to talk to you. Before we get too far into it, man, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I feel great. I feel great. It's my first podcast. I'm happy to be on with you, Jeff, and you, Ray. And excited to talk about education, as always. Like, I'm an education geek, and if we can talk about this all the time, then I'm a happy man.
Well, Jim, we're going to have a whole lot to talk about and a ton of fun. So I'm glad this is your first one, but you can sit back and relax and not stress at all. It's going to be super easy.
All right.
So the first thing that we're going to talk about is just learning more about you. I know, Jim, I've heard a ton about you, obviously, with your work with the Teach Better team. But I want to learn more about your backstory. So if somebody asked, you know, what you do, what would be your typical response to kind of encompass what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I always tell people I'm an educator. I work in the public schools. I'm a superintendent of Mount Holly Schools. So I've been there for 18 years. Started a little bit before that in education, always as a teacher assistant, and worked my way through different areas: teacher, coach, supervisor, director, and now superintendent. So it's been Mount Holly's been the one place that I've been part of this whole time. And so educating kids preschool to grade 8, about 1,100 students in that district. You know, excited to be part of trying to create a system for our kids.
I love it. In 18 years, and it's all in the same district.
All in the same district.
A long time to be there. You've had a lot of positions there, which is awesome. So I want to talk to you more about that. But first, I want to mention that, Ray, I don't know if you know, but Jim is actually coming out to speak at the Teach Better Conference as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
Are you familiar with the Teach Better Conference, Ray?
Oh, I think I get to go.
Yeah, you get to. I invited you. I allow that. No, so Jim's coming out to that. So, Jim, I was wondering if maybe I could sidestep from our typical questions here and maybe hear a little bit about what you're going to be sharing at the conference.
Yeah, I'm real excited about the conference. I can't wait to come. And I titled the this presentation workshop called The Future Is Now. I love working with Teach Better. You guys kind of, we have the same philosophy in education, like why we got to get students involved in the world now, in their communities now. You know, we're building them for the future. We're trying to get them to be, you know, excellent scholars and excellent citizens for the next generation and as they get older. But we can actually, in 2019, 2020, get students to make a change now, make a big difference today, even at the young ages, right? So getting that service learning in there for students all the way from preschool, getting kids out into the community. You can get entrepreneurs if kids have that gift, get them to perform and serve others starting now. So The Future Is Now is actually the title of Mount Holly Strategic Plan. And there's a lot of interesting pillars in that and great objectives. But the main goal is to create that lifelong learning in kids, that innovation and exploration. And if they can do it today, that'll help build them for the future. I think that's what good schooling is. So I'm going to try and present on that and hopefully kind of link into what the Teach Better philosophy is, and the future is ready for us to make some positive change today. So I'm looking forward to that.
I love it. Looking forward to that. Appreciate you sharing that with us. We're excited to have you out. If you're listening and you're not coming and you're not familiar already, everything's over at teachbetterconference.com. You can use the discount code podcasttalk to save $50 on your 2-day registration. Come out and hang out with Jim for a little bit. So you know, Jim, the next question I want to touch on is something, you know, we talk about failure a lot on this podcast. And, you know, one of the things that I think happens, I think a little too often is that people can look at someone in your position, the career you've had all these different positions and you worked way up. Now you're a superintendent, you're leading a district and stuff, and kind of feel like maybe you've always had it figured out. You've always kind of found your way and stuff. But I know from, I've talked to you before with, you know, and things that, you've had setbacks, you've had challenges, you've had failures. So I'm wondering if you can share with us a time that you've had a failure. Sort of take us there with you. What happened? How did you feel? How did you overcome that? And what did you take away from that experience?
Well, I guess the first thing is sophomore year was in college was definitely a failure, Jeff. But I overcame that and graduated school. At least hopefully someone has experienced the failure of at least one semester in college and how you're like, I better get my life together. Where is this life taking me? And so as one piece, but I never became a professional soccer player. I guess that's one, right? You work hard at something. I guess it was about 3 inches too short and maybe 2 steps too slow, but never became that. And so how do you like a lifelong dream? How do you overcome, you know, that lifelong dream that you have? But I mean, there's a lot of things. Failing at a startup company that we tried to build, a few great friends in mine. And you think about some of those, like, okay, you invest money and you lose some money and you try to do real good things and it just doesn't work out. There's a lot of those. I failed at getting a principal position. All my, as I went back to school to get my master's degree, I said, okay, I'm going to go back and lead and go be a principal. Well, I got my degree and never became a principal and was looking at other districts outside of Mount Holly to get that position and it kept falling short. I'm like, wow, I just told you a whole bunch of failures. I was like, I don't really fail that often. So what is it? And then you realize that sometimes these failures are meant to be because there's a whole nother path in your life, right? There's a whole nother maybe mission that you're supposed to go toward. And that's what I was thinking about with this, as I'm thinking about this question. That failures sometimes are meant to build you up and just make you stronger and better character, or sometimes they're meant to be because that's really not the door that you were supposed to open. And the right door is in place. So for the time being, the right door is in place. I never became a principal, but in that same district in Mount Holly, I became a director and then superintendent. And that wouldn't have happened if I took that principal job somewhere else or got that principal job somewhere else. So if that makes sense, if you open the right doors, maybe I'll fail less if I start opening the right doors.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I talk every now and then about sort of how those little failures all along the way are road signs. It's just, unfortunately, we don't realize that the road signs along the way all the time. Sometimes you have to look back and see that they were guiding you the whole time. So I love how you twist that in. And yeah, I mean, that's a really powerful lesson that you never know that failure that you had might have actually been the thing that was pushing you to the right direction to be a superintendent. So really cool. Really love that. So now let's flip it around now, Jim. Let's talk about a successful moment you've had. This could be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what'd you take away from that?
Yeah. So I guess successes sometimes aren't as easy to think about, but I guess you can think of becoming superintendent as a success, and then success isn't really, where you begin, it's where you end. So yeah, you get a position, you worked your way to a great spot to lead a great community, and all right, that's a success. But there's a lot more to that, end goal or to that journey. So, I guess the success is really at the end. So I'm thinking about success, and one thing that came to mind over all those things, right? I've started a bunch of programs through a lot of different areas, a lot of innovation, from STEM and robotics to great literacy programs. And then I thought about my special ed position when I was in a multiple disabilities teacher for grades 3 to 5. It was the first multiple disabilities program in Mount Holly when I first started there. And so we built this program up my second year as a teacher coming from another district. And I was like, okay, how are we going to build kids and read? And so these kids are third, fourth grade. And this one student just could not read no matter what we were trying practicing over and over. And just, he was trying his best, get real frustrated. And every day we would read together. And it was toward the end of the year. It was like April. And it's these little books, those quick phonic readers, but he comes up and he starts reading it to me. He's like, look, Mr. D, I can read. And I was like, wow, that was a real success moment. And I guess above all, a lot of other things, that one really resonates with me, because I was like, okay, you keep pushing through, you keep working with a child through his disabilities, through his struggles, emotions, and you can actually get to that next level. I actually saw him last year. He's got a child in our district, and we were talking, and we have still a good relationship together. And so that helped me build like this passion for reading, helped me be a literacy coach and grow in those areas. So that one success, I guess, had a big impact on me.
That's a huge one. Absolutely. That would have a big impact on you. What a great story. As we talk on education, you've obviously done so much. I'm just soaking in between your failure story and your success. I have to know, you've done all these things, and you obviously as superintendent have, like you wear many hats, or you have your hands in a lot of buckets, however you want to phrase it. What like fuels your fire? What's keeping you excited about everything that you're doing right now?
Yeah, good question. Public school has so many parts to it, right? And so when you take the position, you only know so much of it, and learning all those parts is actually fascinating. I mean, the public school system is such a huge entity, right, from Washington, D.C. through all these states. And so all these pieces are in place, and how to get kids to educate or to learn and get passionate about learning through, this huge system where you don't always have, can't always do things exactly the way you might think is best, because the system's so large, might not let you do that. But that in and of itself is passionate or is exciting, because you're trying to make this system as successful as possible. I guess learning through figuring out this, even though it's a small district, it's still a big system that everyone matters, because there's so many parts to it that every person matters. So every staff member and what the impact they have on children, on each other, on the community, I think that has a huge impact on me, all the staff, and then all the stakeholders, right? From your board members to your parents to the the owner of the ice cream store, to the owner of the pizza store, to the Mount Holly, to the police department, to, you know, to all of the entities, right? We can name them all. And to say how all they matter. And if you can build that whole community together, then the school is just an amazing place. Amazing place to be, amazing place to work, and then hopefully a really engaging place to learn. And everybody's involved. And getting those parents to really buy into the system and be part of that. A lot of times schools are isolating themselves from community just because the world is getting so big. And actually the community is isolating from the schools. It's both ways. And how to build that community together is, I guess, one of my big passions right now. How you can, in 2019-20, maybe go back in time a little bit to where the community, the smaller community, has a bigger impact.
Well, Jim, you know that that is a huge passion of mine. So I love that that's something that you continue to not only focus on your district, but the message that you continue to share within the educational network that you're building, because this world of blending a partnership between districts and communities is totally, it is absolutely a possibility. It just needs to be so much more of a focus of a progressive classroom. I'm so thrilled that you continue to challenge the people around you to foster that environment. That's so important.
Yeah, and I guess I'm back at the both of you and Chad and the team, Tiffany. I didn't want to miss her, but that you guys, reason why I connected with you in the first place is because of that passion I see that you have and trying to be innovative and build into the community and take kids to that excitement level that you don't always see in a lot of programs or a lot of groups. So kudos to you for trying to build that in this system.
Well, and, you know, you've talked a lot about developing this system, and I want to kind of go back to that with our next question. You know, when you're focusing on this being the future of, you know, education, the ability for students to see that relevancy day in, day out within their classrooms, within their community, and everywhere in between, what advice do you give, you know, whether it be a new teacher or an educator kind of starting early in their career, what advice do educators need to either begin on this movement to be better in their classrooms or just simply, you know, to get started in their, you know, progression? What were you thinking as advice-wise?
Well, two things that I tell the new teachers. I do the Summer Institute with the new teachers. That's, I love doing that in the summer, getting excited about it. I always say, I don't know if you watch the show Survivor, if I can plug that, but the mantra is outwit, outlast, outplay. So I tell them, like, you're one of your roles, you definitely better outwit them because you have a college degree, but how to outlast kids and outplay them or play with, you know, alongside them is just an important one for teachers to do. So that's my little mantra I give to them. But, you know, I guess when I first became a teacher, I don't know if I became a teacher with a passion for education. I became a teacher because I was, you know, I worked well with kids and, you know, I was good at it. But I wasn't sure if I really, this was my, you know, mission or my lifelong passion. And so how do you excite new teachers to really believe that, keep that within them, and how not to lose that over time, right? Because teachers' turnover rate, leaders' turnover rate in the school system is way too short. You know, I don't know the number of years, but the average superintendent I hear sometimes is under 3 years. The average teacher does not last more than 5 years at times. And how do we keep that energy going and keep that passion going? Sometimes in a place that's really hard. That's really hard to be at with all the worries that the schools have. And you know, we're, you know, New Jersey is number one and United States is a great education system, but there's a lot that kids have to deal with, a lot of society has to deal with. How do you keep that passion for learning and that excitement for learning and to keep learning in your field? Sometimes people get stale in their field. How you keep learning and keep growing, how you know, join a podcast to keep getting excited about education and go to conferences, you know, and not forget, you know, what we're all about. I guess that's one one huge piece of advice.
I love that. And it fits right into the teach better mindset of just continually being better every day, learning every day, trying to grow. So I love it. Fits right in. That's perfect. So let's have some fun here, Jim. We're going to do the next six questions. And your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. You ready to go?
All right, let's do it.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Anything Google, you know, because sharing and collaborating is such an amazing tool that we didn't have before.
Give us a book that you're reading right now.
I am reading Learning from Lincoln, Leadership Practices for School Success, Harvey Alvey and Pam Robbins. Just some Lincoln quotes are so amazing and explains how you can tie that into being an educational leader. It's really cool.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
Besides me, at James E. DiDonato, you know, I picked two healthy groups at TeacherFit19. I don't know if you know them, but they do great things for educators. And then at Oh How Healthy is a good friend of mine, and she has amazing tweets, nutritional tweets, real quick learning exercises. So both of them, I think you'll. Where in a short amount of time, you can become healthier and more fit. Check them out.
Very cool. And we do know TeacherFit. Nick is actually going to be out at the conference as well. So
that's great.
He's going to be speaking. He's going to be hanging out. And on Saturday morning, he's actually going to be running a mindfulness relaxation session, which is going to be really cool. So
very good.
Right, I messed up our time, but we're going to keep going. What's a good YouTube channel or website for educators?
I don't have one. Got to pass on that.
anywhere you go for like for when you want to dive into stuff, or you turn to podcast maybe, or
all you can do is search. You want to learn something, you search something and YouTube will pop up. I like to keep it open and flexible.
I'm all right with that. I'll take it. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine you think every teacher should get into.
Everybody should get into. Let's start with prayer, because all educators need it. For sure, right? We got a big path there. Learning. Just keep learning. And then the third one, keep healthy habits, right? Fit, eat well, and be well.
And then give us the best piece of advice you've ever received.
This comes from a former superintendent. He told me, I can't make people happy. You know, you can try, you do everything you can to put in place, but at the end of the day, you just can't make them happy. So, you know, you do your best around that.
Well, Jim, I just think you had such incredible value for our podcast. I know that we've had a lot of interactions virtually and you do a ton with the team, but I've just so enjoyed getting to know you on a more personal level and kind of like your mindset, because it really aligns with everything I've seen you continue to encourage your teachers in your district to do. And I just love being able to connect with like educational leaders who are consistent and passionate about what's doing right for students. So I really appreciate it. And one of the last questions, which I think is most important, is how our listeners can connect with you, because I want this to just be the beginning of hearing your message. So would you mind sharing your Twitter handle or anything else you'd like to share for our listeners to make sure that they connect with you?
Yeah, this far I have Twitter, at James E. DiDonato, DiDonato. And I love Twitter. That's where I'm at more than anything else.
And, you know, you can find all the links and resources, everything we mentioned in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as the link to make sure you get connected with James on Twitter so you can keep that conversation going. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate that as well. Let's keep taking this one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share this podcast with them. We really appreciate that. Jim, man, really appreciate having coming on. Super excited to have you come out to the conference here. We're just 2 weeks out, basically. So really excited about that, man. Really appreciate you taking the time tonight. Just a big thank you from all of us.
Jeff, Ray, thank you. See you at the conference.
And until next time, let's get out there. Let's teach better.
I have to like actually have an intro. Hold on. Man, what's going on?